That's true. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Let's keep this thing moving on Wednesday. Covering a lot of ground. Hit the NBA in hour number one. Hit some NFL in hour number one. We start hour number two. Let's talk some NHL. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, phone lines are open nationwide, as you know. Quickly, that telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Next hour, we talk some golf with one of the best stories ever, Michael Block. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are one of the more intriguing franchises in any sport. I mean that. We're joined right now by the GM of that franchise. The Golden Knights won the Pacific Division en route to the best record in the Western Conference this season. They beat the Jets. They beat the Oilers. They're currently up on Dallas 3-0. Game 4 is set for tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We are joined right now by Kelly McCrimmon. Kelly, it is great to have you on the program. I would ask you how you're doing, but I'm guessing you're doing pretty well. Am I right?
Well, when you're in a series, you never know if you're going to come out the other end successfully. So certainly we're pleased to be leading the series 3-0. We're one win away from Stanley Cup Finals. So we're excited about the opportunity in front of us.
Okay, I think that's a fair response. Let me ask you, you won last night and you jumped on them pretty early on. What were your biggest takeaways from that game that does put you now a win away from advancing to the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in franchise history?
The biggest thing for me, Jim, would be how different the game was to what everyone likely expected. Games 1 and 2 were both overtime games, and game 1, I thought we were a little better than them. Game 2, they were a little better than us. We were fortunate to score late in game 2 and early in overtime. And then last night, Marcia So scoring from Eichel early in the first period to give us a lead, then the major penalty, and just how differently that game unfolded as to what we might have expected. And, like we anticipated Dallas's best game because of the fact we had the 2-0 lead. And we're, really pleased to be able to come into a difficult building and get a win.
Kelly McCrimmon joining us. Kelly, in terms of that major penalty, what did you make of that incident where Jamie Benn received that 5-minute major and that game misconduct for cross-checking Mark Stone? What was your reaction?
Well, I think it surprised a lot of people, likely on both teams and people watching the game. It was unprovoked. It'll be a situation where Jamie Benn has a hearing today with the Department of Player Safety. So how that'll unfold, I guess we'll likely know here sometime this afternoon. It took their captain out of the game. So that part, I guess, had a direct impact on last night's game. And it gave us an opportunity to go on the power play for 5 minutes where we were able to build our lead from 1-0 to 2-0. Then we scored shortly after the power play to have a 3-0 lead 7 or 8 minutes into the game.
So, Kelly, in your mind, was that unfortunate or, frankly, was that dirty? And does that warrant a suspension, in your opinion?
Well, you don't like to speak too much on these things when there's a hearing already in place, but I think everybody would agree. It wasn't a hockey play. It was pretty vicious. And fortunately, Mark Stone wasn't hurt. The cross check came right down on the side of his head. It could have gave him a concussion, could have broke his cheekbone, could have done any number of things. So fortunately, there was no injury on the play. And, past that, we'll leave it up to the NHL to make their determination.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon. Kelly, you mentioned Eichel, center Jack Eichel. He had an assist last night, and he led the team in points this season. And listen, there was never, ever, ever any doubting his immense talent. If there were, in fact, any questions about him when the team made the deal for him back in November of 2021, if there were, maybe it was about fit with the team, maybe it was about his health. Can you take me back? Did you have any such concerns about that deal? And then what has he meant to your organization since then?
Well, we had concerns about his health, and yet we were comfortable enough to continue to work ahead on the trade. He was awaiting neck surgery when we traded for him. He was able to. He had done a lot of the research himself. There was a debate between himself and the Sabres organization as to what type of remedy he should seek, whether that be a fusion or whether that be disc replacement. Disc replacement had never been done on an NHL player before. Jack felt strongly that was the best course for his health and stuck to that position, did a lot of research in terms of where that would take place. The decision was made to have Dr. Chad Prusmak from Denver conduct the surgery. It's a surgery that was very successful. His rehab was quicker than we anticipated. But I think it was really this year before he had a full off season to train, the chance to be at training camp with our team and be a part of it right from day one. And the motivation behind the trade was, for me, when you look at Stanley Cup champions, they generally have, a number one defenseman. They generally have an elite number one center. We had good centers. We had a good team. But we didn't have a player of the caliber of Jack Eichel. And I think that some of the unknowns that come with it is Jack had never been in the playoffs. And it's not a case where Jack didn't have a good reputation in the playoffs, hadn't played well previously in the playoffs. He'd never been. So this year, him arriving in playoffs and really – it probably took a game for him to settle right in, and he's just really flourished. And the thing about playoffs for me, over the years that I've been involved, is they make players better, and some guys really flourish, and that's what we've seen from Jack. He has played tremendous, and not just offensively, but just the things that help you win, because that's what it comes down to. A lot of games are, 3-2 at this time of year, so what are you doing to help us win? And certainly he's had his more than his share of offensive moments, but he's played a really good 200-foot game, and I think is really gaining confidence and enjoying the experience of being in the playoffs for the first time.
Honestly, Kelly, I think that's a fascinating response for so many different reasons. I want to ask you what you said about him saying, it wasn't fair to say, he couldn't get it done in the postseason. He never had the opportunity. He'd never done it before. My question for you is this. Can you look at a guy like that or a lot of other really talented guys and just know that once they get to the big stage, they will flourish? Or even you, do you not know until you see it, until they actually get there? Do you never know until they get there?
Well, one of the lesser known traits of Jack's game when we were acquiring him, obviously we involved our pro scouts to do a ton of due diligence because we gave up a lot to acquire the player. But one of the things that I think it was a little bit underrated in Jack's game because of the fact they hadn't been in the meaningful games late in years or playoffs that you expect guys to be in was his competitiveness. And I think we've really seen that. And then the other aspect of his game that is probably coming to the fore more and more is how strong he is. He really can protect the puck. And then when you combine that with the skating ability and the skill, it really makes him hard to take the puck away from. So, the competitiveness you believe is going to translate when those opportunities come. So we've certainly seen that. And the other thing that I think was a little bit of a misrepresentation as well, tremendous, tremendous teammate, really good character, has fit in since day one. We've got a really good dressing room that he's become a big part of. So, those are the things that you lean on when you're trying to project a player to a situation that he's yet to experience. So, again, happy for Jack because this is a really important stretch of his career and obviously important to our team.
Kelly McCrimmon joins me for a couple of more moments. Kelly, in fact, I was going to ask you about the room because I had a conversation with your head coach, Bruce Cassidy, back in February. Obviously, you're not in the position you're in right now, a single win away from the Stanley Cup final, unless you're really talented. But top to bottom, how do you like the makeup of this group and how high is the character in the room?
I think the composition of our team is really, really strong. We've got tremendous depth. We're not relying on one specific person. It's definitely a group effort. Different guys have seized big moments. Great leadership from our coach, Bruce Cassidy, as well. I think over time, teams generally reflect the personality of the head coach. So I give Bruce and his staff a lot of credit for what our team has done. And again, we're a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. When you go back to the All-Star break, when Mark Stone was ruled out for the season with back surgery, where we had lost 7 of 8 at that time, coming out of the break, we really grabbed a hold of it. I give the players credit, but I give our coaches credit as well, because our finish was, I think, 22-4-5, something like that, at a time where teams in the Western Conference really took off. LA and Edmonton in our division had great finishes. Minnesota and Dallas really had great finishes to try to finish first in the Central, and Colorado, of course, was able to come from behind and win the Central Division pennant. So that the injuries that we overcame, when you look at the leadership, where you need your leadership, we had a lineup that was missing players really all year. The first 20 games we were healthy, but the rest of the way we had injuries, real significant injuries for long periods of time. So again, the depth really helped us through that, as well as the leadership.
Hey, Kelly, one last thought. You mentioned Bruce, and I love Bruce. I think it's really great to see Bruce. He was let go by Boston. Boston had that historic regular season. They're at home. You're still going. I'm looking at a piece actually right now on ESPN.com, which is really interesting, and it's titled The Power of Positive Coaching and Its Impact on the Stanley Cup Playoffs. And the gist of it is that the old school way of coaching, where you coach guys really hard and negatively, just is not as effective as it used to be, and especially with younger players right now. Some other anonymous sources in the article are saying, now wait a minute, you still have to get into guys. It's still okay to do that, but there's a way to do that. Where do you come out? Are you seeing any kind of shift, any kind of quantum shift in the way coaches are relating to their players? Does the old school way still work? Where do you come out on that approach?
Well, you have to build trust as a coach, and you have to keep people accountable as a coach. The way you do that, I think, is different now than it might have been maybe even 5 years ago. So, I think our players trust Bruce. I think they believe that what he has instilled in our team, what he wants our team to do, what he wants us to look like, I think they believe that's going to help us win. And I think once you've built trust, you can coach players hard on occasion. It's not an everyday thing. It's not there's a point of diminishing returns, I think, in terms of how you handle people in those situations. But I think when you have the trust of your group, you can come at them hard in a short moment to get people back on track or get people, playing our game like we need to. That's one of the things that our team has done a really good job of, is we generally get to our game. And when we, fall off of that and we lose momentum or have a bad period, we have a pretty good maturity level to get back to it. And I think that comes from accountability, and that, that for me, in any era has to be there, whether that's from the veterans on your team, the coaches, or whatever the methods are for that to happen. But it definitely is different with today's player.
I think that's really interesting. And never mind what it was like when you played, Kelly. It's different than it was 5 years ago. To your point, accountability, culture, character, these things are timeless. They all matter. He is the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights. They are now up 3-0 on the Stars. They're one game away from making it to the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in their 6-year franchise history. Kelly, really appreciate the time. Appreciate a great conversation. Thanks so much for doing that.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Jim. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you too, Kelly. Thank you very much. Good stuff. I told you, that's a really fascinating franchise. Thank you, Alvin. I love to talk hockey. Love the NHL. Tremendous product. And yes, Florida is up 3-0 in their series. They play tonight. 1-800-636-8686. I want to finish my thought on Aaron Rodgers. It's not about the Packers. I want to move on to and segue on to Jets fan freaking out. Jets fan saying, see, I knew this was going to happen. Knew what was going to happen. Knew he was going to tweak his calf in May. You knew that was going to happen? Nothing happened. It's nothing. It's nothing. Why do you have to rush in? I know you're scarred. I know you've had a tough go of it, and I know it's been like this most of your entire lives, but why is the sky always falling? It's not. Again, if this guy shredded his Achilles in a voluntary workout in OTAs, then I would listen to this. If he shredded his ACL and his MCL, then I would listen to this. This is not what happened. He was just getting loose, right? On a ball, which is, it was nothing. It is nothing. Nothing to see here. He's still absolutely ecstatic. Why are you panicking when he's not? They love having him around. I'll finish that thought. I've also got a smack off player profile. Michael Block, top of hour number three. It's a good day. It's a good show. ATP coming up too. Bring something to it. What do you have to make it better? I would love to get somebody at least on the watch list. A golden ticket would be even better. So 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, some of your reaction, and I do want to finish my thought on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets fans. And Jets fan, I understand why Packer fan is so upset. There's some open wounds there. But Jets fan, you don't have open wounds. You just have scar tissue. It's going to be fine. I really believe it's going to be fine. And even if it's not going to be fine, this is not evidence that it's not going to be fine. It's nothing. We'll finish that thought next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got some range. Good hockey interview. I love it. Kelly McCrimmon showing up huge. Vegas Golden Knights. Can you imagine? They're a game away from the Stanley Cup final for the second time in their six-year franchise history. That's incredible. All right, so really quickly, some breaking news, and it's odd. But then again, everything with John Morant is odd these days. I'm going to bring my EP Tommy in. Tommy, you saw this first before I did. Why don't you share what you saw? What happened and what is the TMZ report regarding John Morant?
So this morning when we were prepping the show, I saw these weird posts on Ja's Instagram story. Freaked a lot of people out. The first one was "Love Ya Ma" with a blue heart and a picture of his ma. Then "Love Ya Pops" with a blue heart and a picture of his father hugging him. "You the greatest baby girl, heart, love you" with his daughter. And then the last one was just "Bye," period. So obviously people got a little spooked by this. Now TMZ is reporting that the Shelby County Sheriff's Office actually went and did a wellness check on his home in Tennessee.
Wow.
And apparently he's fine. And all of that was communicating is that he's taking a break from social media.
Oh, wow. Incredible. All right. Thanks for sharing that story. My reaction to that. If you're going to take a break from social media, you don't need to tell anybody that. But if you feel the need to do that, if you feel the need to let the world know, much less your family, that you're taking a break from social media, make it very clear that you're taking a break from social media and not that you're taking a break from life permanently, because that's how that read. They sent authorities in for a wellness check. That's scary and crazy. And bizarre. And for what? Now the explanation was I was just letting my family know that I was taking a break from social media. Why? Why? That's weird. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm saying that's weird. If you wanted to take a break from social media, and he should, hell, we all should. I would love to take a break from social media. I don't think anybody needs to break more than he does. And believe me, I would love to. But why do you need to share that with your family? Why do you need to tell your mom and your dad and your baby girl how much you love them and you're taking a break from social media? Isn't that weird? Or maybe it comes up in the course of a conversation. Like, hey, pa. Yo, pops. You know what I think? You know, I'm sure they talk about a lot of things right now, right? I mean, Ja's got a lot to talk about with his personal team. His personal team, his actual team, his family. I'm sure in that conversation, probably somebody, if they have his best interest at heart, would say, hey, Ja, you know what would be a pretty good idea? Put the phone down. Because when you pick the phone up, bad things happen. You show up in clubs with a gun. You show up in a car with a gun. You lose a lot of money. You lose sponsorships. The league comes down on you. You get suspended. You're not available. My guy, maybe you stay off of social media. I can see where that conversation might come up. But why would you take to social media to inform your family members that you're taking a break from social media? Why do you need to tell anybody you're taking a break from social media? Is that how weird social media is? That if you're, quote, prominent on social media, you have to let people know you're taking a break? How about this? Why don't you just delete the app? Why don't you just put the phone down? why do you need to say anything at all? And even if you're an incredible look at me person and you're addicted to social media and you feel this sense of self-importance, then be very clear about it and say, hey, followers, hey, fam, hey, nation, I'm taking a break from social media for obvious reasons. I want to work on myself. And then you just say it explicitly. But you don't want to be kind of cryptic about it and say, I love you, Ma, I love you, Pa, I love you, baby girl, bye. Because then you know what will happen? Given your current state, they will send authorities in for a wellness check. I mean, even when Jaw's trying, I guess, he's still stepping in it. You don't owe anybody an explanation as to why you are no longer showing up in clubs, on Instagram Live, with a gun. Just stop doing it. And if people, nobody's going to say, hey, Jaw, where's Jaw? Why is Jaw not on Instagram Live? Why is he not on social? I mean, I think we all know why, right? Nobody's going to wonder why you're not showing up, dude. We all know why. Because when you show up, really bad things happen and you're wrecking your career. You don't owe anybody an explanation as to why you're no longer showing up on social media, especially your family. That's just weird. This is how weird social media is in this day and age. He felt the need to let them know via social media that he wasn't going to be on social media. God, does anybody ever call anybody anymore? At least text it to them so people don't think the worst. And most of all, authorities are not sent over to your house to check on you. Weird. And in that case, weird's not good. That's just weird. All right, Tommy, thanks for dialing me into that. 1-800-636-8686. I've got a Smack Off Player profile coming up a little bit later on. I do want to finish the thought on Aaron Rodgers. Some quick reaction. Doug in Milwaukee. Jimmy, Aaron never got hurt in Green Bay during OTAs. Just saying. Wore Jordan Love. What are you saying? What does that even mean? He never got hurt in Green Bay during OTAs. And? No, you know what? He never did get hurt in Green Bay during OTAs. He just had a first ballot Hall of Fame career there. The hell are you even? What does that even mean, Doug? Well, another gotcha moment. War Jordan Love. Again, my point. Green Bay. I'm stuck in the middle here. I don't want to fight either side. This is not a fight that I want. I'm not afraid of a fight. I just don't want this fight. You said it best. War Jordan Love. Keep Aaron's name out your mouth. He's gone. Why do you care? Focus on Jordan Love. If Jordan Love outplays Aaron Rodgers, and you want to talk all the junk you want, go right ahead. But why are you so obsessed about Aaron? He's gone. She left. He left. The significant other's gone. Move on. Stop checking their social. Stop stalking them. Sorry, they're in better shape, and they look better, and they're happier. They're gone. Worry about you. Rome, the last thing Packer fan wants to happen is Rodgers getting seriously injured. If he doesn't play 65% of the snaps, they don't get that first round pick. Mike in Green Bay. See, that's a very well-reasoned take. However, Mike, deep down, do you not want to see the guy get hit by a truck? Just asking. I mean, Mike, you're right. Better that you get that conditional pick. This guy weighs in as a Bears fan. As a Bears fan, I am delighted that Aaron Rodgers can't terrorize my team anymore. That said, the only fans more insufferable than Packer fans are Jets fans. Lighten up, gangrene. Don't push Rodgers back into another darkness retreat. Signed, Jimmy K. Well said. It's kind of what I'm talking about. All right, so I want to get to that. Let me get a break in, stay on the clock. I don't agree with Packer fan, but I understand Packer fan. I know why there's still some raw feelings here. Jets fan, why are you freaking out? This whole, that's why they can't afford nice things. That's why you can't give them nice things. I know you're scarred. I know you expect the worst. But the guy is so happy to be there. Everybody in the building is so happy to have him there. Your young stars are like, man, the GOAT is changing everything. Stop expecting the worst. Stop being so negative. It's just a calf tweak. All right, I'm going to finish that thought. I want to talk about the Jets fan side of this. Man, he's right. Don't run this guy off. He's happy. He loves it there. Just because you're miserable doesn't mean you need to make him miserable. In fact, you don't want him to be miserable. He's your QB1. He's the key to all your happiness. Don't drag this guy down into the mud with you. Stop being so miserable. My thoughts on that when we come back. Then somebody really happy at the top of the hour, luckily. That'll be good. First up, though, here is a...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Once again, clone, it's not all beef jerky is one and the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. That way you can sample different flavors and find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? So I mentioned Aaron Rodgers tweaks a calf. It stops the entire news cycle. And everybody has an opinion, starting with Packer fans. They're saying, see, told you so. But then Jets fans too, which I did not expect. I should have known better, but I didn't expect it. Now, I'm not saying all Jet fans, but there definitely was a group of loudmouths on social media who basically took the calf tweak as a victory lap. You know, like, see, I knew this was too good to be true. I told you this was going to happen. You see, he can't stay healthy. See, he doesn't want to practice. He doesn't want to be there. Like, Jets fan, I'm not going to tell you how to feel because I haven't lived your life. I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't know what that deep scarring feels like. However, I think that I can say this. Man, take a deep breath. There's a strategy for this that you may not be familiar with, but it's a part of Aaron's playbook. He's run it successfully in the past. It goes like this. R-E-L-A-X.
R-E-L-A-X.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Relax.
Relax, Jets fan. I know it's been miserable being a Jet fan. I know you think that you're not entitled to and should never have nice things. So you have no idea how to behave once you do get a nice thing. I know you're currently still stuck in the longest active playoff drought in the four major sports, which is essentially impossible to believe, but absolutely true. I know that you've almost never had a quarterback that you liked. I get that. So I get that all of this is crazy and wild and new and different. But understand this part too. It is real and it's happening and it's actually awesome. It's a great thing. And Aaron truly does love being a Jet. He's not just saying it despite the Packers, maybe in part. But I believe him. I believe the guy really is rejuvenated. I believe the guy really is happy. And to Aaron, it's really important to be happy. And I really feel like he is happy. I really feel like he does love it in New York. He's motivated to raise the standard of an already talented team. He's got a great defense, finally. He has some really good offensive weapons. He's got a system and a coach that he's comfortable with. And he's motivated and rejuvenated and has got a gigantic boulder on his shoulder. Yet at the same time, he's happy. In fact, I'm going to say he's the happiest Jet I've seen in quite some time. Has there ever been a happier Jet than Aaron Rodgers? I mean, listen to this dude again. This was not the introductory presser. This is yesterday's presser. Nothing's changed. And if anything has, it's that he's even happier now than when he first arrived. He's still gushing about what it's like to be there and be a member of the Jets.
Every day, I wake up excited about coming to the facility. Now, the commute being 2 minutes really helps because, you know, it's, you know, just rolling out of bed and heading to the facility is nice. But, yeah, I have an excitement about coming down Jets Drive. And it was surreal for sure and strange to look at my locker and see a number 8 or to, you know, be rocking Jets gear. It's a little bit strange for sure. But every day there's been something that's kind of been a little special sign or synchronicity or just a cool moment that reminds me I'm in the right place.
You can't fake that. He's not faking that. He seriously is the only person I think I've ever heard say, quote, "I have an excitement about coming down Jets Drive." Who has ever said that? If that has ever been uttered aloud by another human being, it was because that human being was being really sarcastic or lying. But for Aaron, I believe it. Somehow it's real. So, Jet fan, I know you're scarred. I get this. But at some point, you're going to have to accept that things can be great. You don't see your head coach, Robert Saul, walking around like, "Woe is me. Woe is me. I knew this was going to happen." I mean, he is keeping receipts. But man, the guy's happy. He's positive. He's aggressive. Stop walking around like the sky is falling. At some point, you have to accept that it can be great. At some point, you have to accept this guy really is, in fact, happy. At some point, you have to accept it's not inevitable that he's going to get hit by a truck and dragged. Maybe the guy shows up like Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer. Maybe he gets you into the postseason and you win. It's like Packer fan. At some point, you're going to have to accept that it is over and move on. And no matter how badly people want to see this situation get weird and get toxic, it's not. Not right now, it's not. Right now, it's awesome. It's positive. Especially you, Jets fan. It's positive. And you know why? Aaron is positive. Aaron wants to be there. Aaron is happy. And him tweaking a calf is not evidence that, you see, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. That's hilarious. A tweaked calf in May is evidence that we should have never made that deal. You see, it didn't work out. It bit us in the ass. Oh, and evidence, he doesn't want to put the work in. He doesn't want to do the work. It's a vet day. Felt a little tweak, felt a little tinge, took himself off the field and stayed there and coached everybody else up. I mean, give this guy a break. When something really happens, I'm not saying you can't go in then, but nothing has happened. All right, let's go to the phones. Something that is going to happen. Michael Block, top of the hour. Can't wait for that. 15 minutes out. Also, I've got our first Smack Off player profile. I promise I will get to that before the end of the program. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Las Vegas. Mike in Vegas. Good to have you on, Mike. How are you?
Doing awesome, Jim. What's happening?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I wanted to talk about all the good hockey vibes going on right now in Vegas, man. But first, I got to talk about these Dallas Stars. Their fans just embarrassing themselves last night, just quitting, like just clowns that they are. But even worse than that, bro, it's the cheap shot to Captain Mark Stone, man. I'm kind of done with it. Like, he's one of the most respected captains in the game. It's just more of the same baggery we saw up in Edmonton. But you know what? We're just not going to let it bug us. Like, we love the hockey vibes in Vegas. We love our team. I've been here for 30 years. I'm a lifetime Raider fan, but there's nothing like what the Golden Knights give us. We know all these hockey old heads, they all hate us. They all hate how we drafted. They all hate our salary cap, blah, 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 all the nonsense that they hate. Guess what? We don't care at all. We love what we got. We're going to the Cup, and that's all I got.
Nice job. I agree with you. I love that franchise. I love the way they've built that franchise. I don't know why this keeps happening to a quality guy like Mark Stone. I mean, the guy's already been cross-checked, already been badly injured. Like, that was frustration, obviously. Jamie Benn knew that that was totally out of line. Jamie Benn lost his mind. And not the first time that's happened either. But I thought Kelly McCrimmon, when I said to him, was that a dirty play? Did that warrant a suspension? We had him on in hour number one. And Kelly McCrimmon, the GM of the franchise, said, well, I don't want to comment on it too much because right now it's under review. It's under consideration. However, it was not a hockey play. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Cross-checking a dude into the ice where he could be badly injured is not a hockey play. And to me, that does warrant a suspension. Ice. It was a five-minute major, a game misconduct, and it was dirty. It was dirty. There's no place for that in the game. So I agree with you. And I love the franchise. I love the way they built that thing. I love that they're a game away from the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in just 6 years. I love that they're having that kind of success in Vegas. I'm just blown away by this whole notion of professional sports franchises in Vegas. Again, it was not that long ago that Tony Romo was not allowed to do a fantasy football convention in Vegas. And now you've got football, and now you have hockey, and baseball, and more. Who knows how long before the NBA gets there? It's an incredible thing. 1-800-636-8686. Back to the phones. Let's do it. Why not? Bob, LA. Old head, old school, bitter Bob, always has a take. Let's go there right now. What's going on, Bob? How are you?
Oh, pretty good, Jim. How are you today?
Great. Always.
Hey, Jim, this is kind of a weird take. I'd like to start it off that I am not an NBA fan. I've never watched an NBA Finals. I thought it was kind of boring. I used to watch basketball. To me, it was the same people over and over. However, 2 weeks ago, when I heard that Miami got into the semifinals, I didn't know much about it because I didn't know basketball, but I heard in an interview that Miami has seven undrafted players on their regular team. Seven. Where are the scouts on that? And they were the lowest scoring team in the NBA. And as you stated the other day, they got in by the skin of their teeth. And they get to the semifinals. So I said, well, what's this? And they're playing against the Boston Celtics. And everybody picked the Celtics either to win or to come in. We knew that. So, well, let me watch. Well, I watched the game, and they won. I watched another game, and they won. And they watched another game. Well, Jim, after they won those three games, I'll tell you one thing. I am definitely going to be watching the NBA Finals. And as far as I'm concerned, this team, Miami, has brought the NBA up in the world for clones like me and everything because it finally shows that there's parity in the NBA, just like there's parity in college basketball. And I just want to say, Jim, that, you know, it's like you told the other day, that they're the best team, you know, the Celtics. Again. No, it's not, Jim. Like you said, it's the team with the best coaching and the desire by the players to win can beat superior talent any day of the week. So, and finally, Jim, I just want to say I will definitely be listening to the NBA Finals this year. And, you know, and one other thing, Jim, there's a chalk line of a dead body in front of the Boston offices, and that's because we know what it's for. It's for their coach after they lose their final game, and the muckety-mucks tell them to hit the bricks. Anyway, Jim, that was my take, and I just want to say I am definitely in on the NBA, but out for the show. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, Bob. He got the plane down somehow. Well, Bob, you're right about one thing. When you started by saying this is kind of a weird take, most of yours are. All right, so Bob just said, hey, I've never been an NBA guy. I've never been a fan, but I just kind of picked up on the Miami Heat. I love the fact that the Miami Heat made the old guy an NBA fan. They do play a certain way. And old head Bob appreciates the way they play. Hey, I agree, Bob. I love the way they play. I love the way they play. I was talking to a coach the other day who was talking about, you have no idea how well-run their practices are or what they're like or how regimented they are down to the very minute. There's nobody like them. Their culture is a real thing. Yeah, I did say it, although he did repeat everything I said about them the other day, but I did say it. They've got seven guys who played 20 minutes the other night that are undrafted. And in the conference finals, as an 8 seed, the fact that they're an 8 seed in the conference finals does not tell me that they got hot at the right time. It tells me how utterly worthless the NBA regular season is. That's what that tells me. I like Bob. I like that Bob made a point of letting the entire world know that, hey, world, I'm Bob from L.A., and I am now officially watching basketball. Thanks, Pops. And another thing. Actually, what I said, Bob, was Boston is the more talented team. They're not the better team. They're the more talented team, but Miami is the better.